Hey everybody, welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen and today is April 21st. Today we begin a brand new Come Follow Me block, which is Mosiah. So I'm so excited that we get to start the Book of Mosiah. It is one of my favorite books in the whole Book of Mormon. I absolutely love it. There's so much in the Book of Mosiah that is just phenomenal. So I'm excited to jump in it with you. Really quickly, before we jump into the scriptures in Mosiah, I want to point out something that's really interesting about the Book of Mosiah, and that is here in the Book of Mosiah, we're going to see a voice change. So from 1 Nephi all the way through Words of Mormon, we have been getting this story in the first person, meaning the narrator is the person who's writing. It says, I did this and we did that. And the reason is that 1 Nephi all the way through the Words of Mormon were taken from the small plates, meaning they were written, they were taken and buried with the abridgment, and so we get it straight from the author's mouth. However, from here on out, now, rather than it being from the small plates, now we're getting the abridgment that Mormon put together and Moroni eventually buried, meaning Mormon took the stories that these people wrote firsthand, and he abridged them and wrote down the story from the original records. And so from here on out, we're going to be getting this story in the third person. So just in case you've ever wondered why we get a voice change there, that is why. So let's jump in. Starting in Mosiah chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "And it came to pass that he had three sons," talking about King Benjamin. "And he called their names Mosiah, and Heliroam, and Helaman, and he caused that they should be taught in all the language of his fathers, that thereby they might become men of understanding, that they might know concerning the prophecies which had been spoken by the mouths of their fathers, that were delivered them by the hand of the Lord." Now, what's interesting to me about this scripture, and we see it multiple other places, is that it specifically makes mention that King Benjamin thought it was important that his sons should know the language of their fathers. Now, we see that with Nephi, we see it again with Enos. It is a theme that we see throughout the Book of Mormon, that people say that their father taught them in the language of their fathers. So the question is, why is that so important? And as we think about it, it's the language of the fathers that allows these children to understand the scriptures. Without an understanding of the language of their fathers, they couldn't have read and couldn't have understood the scriptures that they had. In fact, continuing on, look at what it continues to teach us about the importance of this. It says, "And he also taught them concerning the records which were engraven upon the plates of brass, saying, My sons, I would that ye should remember that were it not for these plates which contain these records and these commandments, we must have suffered in ignorance, even at this present time, not knowing the mysteries of God. For it were not possible that our father Lehi could have remembered all these things, to have taught them to his children, except it were for the help of these plates. For he, having been taught in the language of the Egyptians, wherefore he could read these engravings, and teach them to his children, that thereby they could teach them to their children, and so fulfilling the commandments of God even down to this present time. I say unto you, my sons, were it not for these things which have been kept and preserved by the hand of God, that we might read and understand of his mysteries, and have his commandments always before our eyes, that even our fathers would have dwindled in unbelief, and we should have been like unto our brethren the Lamanites, who know nothing concerning these things, or even do not believe them when they are taught them, because of the traditions of their fathers which are not correct." My friends, I know we just talked about this, but I love what these verses are teaching us about the importance of the scriptures. We have a perfect example of what would have happened to these people if they hadn't had the scriptures and hadn't had the plates and hadn't had an understanding of the language of their fathers in the Mulekites. The Mulekites didn't have those plates and they lost their faith. They lost their understanding of God. It makes so much sense when we understand all of this that the Lord said to Nephi that it's better that one man should perish than an entire nation dwindle in unbelief. The scriptures are that important. And so, my friends, it makes me ask myself the question, what am I doing to help my kids understand better the language of the scriptures? Because it's not something that comes easy and it's not something that comes natural. We can't expect our kids just to pick it up and to have the scriptures all of a sudden become super meaningful to them. It takes practice. It takes learning to understand the scriptures and what they're trying to teach us. But when we catch it, when we understand, when we get the language of the scriptures, then the scriptures can open up to us in incredible ways. A great cross-reference for this is found in 3 Nephi chapter 22, verse 13, which says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." When we teach our children to read the scriptures and to understand them, they can be taught from the Lord their entire life, and they will be able to have an increase of peace in their lives from what they find in the scriptures. Anne Worthlin, who was a counselor in the primary presidency in the 90s, once said in a talk called Teaching Our Children to Love the Scriptures, "A very young child's potential for learning and understanding is far greater than we tend to believe. The exciting possibility is that while children are learning new words daily, they can learn the language of the scriptures. In time, through guidance of parents and teachers, they will grow in their understanding that Heavenly Father is speaking to them through the scriptures, that the scriptures can help them find answers to their problems." And then later in that same talk, she's going to quote President Hinckley. He says, "Read to your children. Read the story of the Son of God. Read to them from the New Testament. Read to them from the Book of Mormon. It will take time, and you are very busy, but it will prove to be a great blessing in your lives as well as their lives. And there will grow in their hearts a great love for the Savior of the world, the only perfect man who walked the earth. He will become to them a very real, living being, and his great atoning sacrifice as they grow to manhood and womanhood will take on a new and more glorious meaning in their lives." Then Sister Worthlin says, "Brothers and sisters, that glorious promise from our prophet can be ours if we read to our children from the scriptures." My friends, the prophets of the Book of Mormon taught their children the language of their fathers so that their children could understand the scriptures. Now, did that mean that they all had perfect children who never went astray? Absolutely not. Their children still had their agency, but those prophets understood that their children's best chance for spiritual success in this life was to gain a love and an understanding of the language of the scriptures. Now, my friends, this might be a totally different tangent, but I keep thinking about it as we're talking about teaching our children the language of their fathers. Is, yes, we have to teach them the language of the scriptures, but we also have to teach to them the language of the Spirit. In the world that we live in today, everything is so loud. Everything is so in our face. Everything is so busy. Everything is just go, go, go all the time. It becomes our responsibility to teach children in our lives that the Spirit operates totally differently, speaks to us totally differently. In a world that is so loud, so confusing, so busy, we must teach our children that the Spirit isn't going to shout over the world. It's not going to fight with the world. The Spirit will teach to us quietly, slowly, in a way that's more peaceful and more comforting. But if we can teach our children what the Spirit sounds like, speaks like, then we can teach our children to receive personal revelation in their lives, not just now, but in the future as well. I can't think of a greater two gifts that we could give our children: the understanding of the words of the scriptures and an understanding of how the Spirit speaks. Armed with those two things, we can trust that our children will go out into the world with absolutely the greatest chance for spiritual success in this life and in the life to come. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.